You have your Bible, turn to the book of Deuteronomy, if you will, please. Chapter 28. You probably have heard a lot in the last few months in various and sundry places about a revival, about the church. How we hear of not only among Supreme Baptists, but this past week I talked with some brothers of other persuasions, and they were talking about how it seemed that the people in this church did not have a desire that they once had to fill the Lord's house, to be in His house. Talk with the ministers, and they say, hey, it's everywhere. God's people. And the more I thought about that, I pray the Lord will give maybe some insight. What's happening in America? What's happening to us? A nation that's founded upon godly principles, upon realizing that it was by the grace and mercy of God that our nation was established, with the freedoms that we have, the freedom of religion, the freedom to worship as we please, without fear of molestation or harm. The more I thought about it, the more I studied, the more I read, it seems to me, and I may be barking up the wrong tree, but I think it's come down to the point that God's people, and I'm going to say God's people, we don't see the need of relying upon God as we once did. I think we have come to the idea that I can handle it. I can handle it myself. Well, I'm telling you from personal experience, you can't. The problems and difficulties of life sometimes are so great that there's no way you can handle it by yourself. And I think sometimes maybe the idea is this, that we are Americans and God owes it to us, or because we are a nation built upon Christian principles, God will bless us anyhow. I went back in the Bible and I studied in the Old Testament where God's people got careless with God's Word and God's church. And at that time it wasn't a church, but it's God's kingdom, I guess you would say. And how that the people got where the temple, because the temple was in Jerusalem. And they thought, well, maybe that's what's keeping the blessings pouring out upon us. But it wasn't. They went into captivity. So why? Why do we come to the point that today it seems that, do we believe God? I preached three Sundays ago that Paul says, I believe God, when he's talking about the shipwreck. He said, I believe God. Do we really believe God? Do we really believe that God is able to do all that He has promised? Do we really believe that God is our source of power, our source of deliverance from those things that plague us, or our source of getting through things? I think not. I think sometimes we look and did the Red Sea really part? Did the Jordan River, when they went into the Promised Land, did the water just stand on each side and they went through on dry ground on both cases? Did Jesus really feed 5,000 people with 2 loaves and 3 fish? Or did He do that? Did it really happen like that? Did Jesus really raise from death the widow's son at Nain? Did He really raise that child from death? What about Lazarus? Lazarus had been dead and he stinked. He stinketh, the word I believe it says. Did He really do that? Yes, He really did that. What about did Jesus really, when the sea got tempestuous and they was going across to the other side and the disciples was in the boat and Jesus was down in the hull asleep and they began to think that they were going to die because of a shipwreck? And He came up and He said, peace, be still, and the sea calmed down. Did that really happen? Is these Jewish myths? Is Jesus a man of a false prophet? No, he's not. Did Jesus make a promise that he could not keep? No, he did not. And so as I looked at those things and I thought about it, do we really believe that God can handle anything that comes down the pipe? Do we have faith enough to believe that God is able? Do we really believe that God owns everything? As creation, does God really, he says, the cattle of a thousand hills are mine. He talks about everything being his, and I guess it is by creation. Do we really believe that God cares for our people? That he sent his son to pay our sin debt that we might have a home in heaven? Does God really care about me? Does God really care whether I'm obedient or not obedient? Is God sort of like a master wrath dispensing mogul? Just sitting back waiting for something to happen that I can pounce upon him? No, he's not. God is a loving God that sent his son, and he sent the Holy Spirit today to minister to his people when things got rough. God's blessings. And it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what race or nationality, how well educated we are, or whether we're single or whether we're married, that God still has his concern for us. And in Matthew 5 and verse 45, he wrote that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. He told Abraham when he pulled him out of the land of Ur, of people that worshiped idols, he said to Abram, his name was Abraham, it's changed to Abraham later on. He told him, he said in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, he said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. And all the people of the earth will be blessed through you. Do we believe that? Through Abraham, a man 2,000, maybe 3,000, 6,000, 5,000 years ago, through him that we would be blessed. Yes, so through the lineage of Abraham, Jesus Christ came. But as we think about it this morning, God pours out his blessings upon us. And do we know that he owns everything? And I think sometimes, you know, we have the idea, I said in the onset that I can handle that. I've had people actually tell me this. When their life was somewhat shattered and having troubles and seemed like there was no light at the end of the tunnel, just literally tell me, Brother Ed, I can handle it. I can handle it. And on two occasions, there have been those that broke down and cried and said, no, I cannot. So God's blessings upon us. He blesses the just and unjust with rain. As it rained today, the rain is not just falling on the just. It's falling on the just and unjust. Air that we breathe. We all breathe the God's blessings upon that. But what about our blessings as children of God? What about that? Does anything to the fact that he blesses us because we are such a great people? Does he bless us because we are Americans? No, he blesses us out of his mercy toward us and his grace that he bestows upon us. And so as I looked at that this morning, I thought about this thing. God's blessings. God's blessings. We are all recipients of them. But how, as God's people, do we really realize that with everything that we have, everything that we are, and everything that we will be, is because God is in control? Did you know that God knows all about you? He knows what your weaknesses are. He knows what your demeanor is. He knows the thing that drives your mind and thinking. He knows all about us. And yet He loves the people. When we think about that, He gave us some things in the Old Testament, I believe it's still true today, that will guide us with God dispensing His blessings upon us. Can we expect God to bless us with deliverance when we don't believe that He can? Do we believe that God will bless us with plenty when we've got enough now that we really don't need God, and so I'm not going to thank You for what I do have? But I want to read to you Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14. Listen to what it says to us. And let it ring in your ears. If you have your Bible, I'd encourage you to follow along as I read. And it shall come to pass. There's many times in the Bible, and it came to pass. But it says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do. I preached a sermon on observe and to do. What that really means to do is to see it and then do it. To know to do it and do it. He says, unto hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if. That's a big word in God's Word. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of the body, that's children, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be the basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee and thy storehouses and all that thou settest thy hand unto, and He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto Himself, as He has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in His ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in good, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware to thy fathers to give unto thee. The Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure in heaven, to give rain unto the land in its season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. Again, He says, to observe and do them. And thou shalt not go after, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after the gods that serve thee. And then He goes into the next thing, and He talks about disobedient, being cursed. When I looked at this thing, I thought about it. Psalms 115. I've used this a lot of times. Not unto us, O Lord. O Lord, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. It's good for us to remind ourselves this morning, as God's people, that it's unto Him. It's unto Him. And you know, the blessings do not come to us simply because of our hard work and good planning. And I believe it looks away because sometimes we fail to see the grace of God. Let me tell you this, and you may not believe this, and you may think, well, I've worked hard, and the Lord's blessed me with this, and it's all mine. Apart from God, we have nothing. You might say, oh, I have. Look what I've accomplished. Look what I've done. I've got the degrees. I've got all these things. I can make a living. Who opens doors? Apart from Him, He is the source of our blessing. Because the world is His handiwork, and He and everything we own belongs to God. We're stewards. The Bible speaks about us being good stewards of those things. And really, He owns the blessings that we receive. Moses here has painted up God's absolute control over all that we have. The fruit of the womb, the crops in the field, the livestock in the folds, and the harvest we get in the barns. We've heard this common saying, I believe. And we can buy a bed but not sleep, food but not an appetite, a house but not a home, medicine but not health, amusements but not happiness, a passport to everywhere except heaven. Blessings in life are gifts from God. We need to acknowledge that and recognize that. Be mindful lest we forget what God told the Jewish people in Deuteronomy. In chapter 8 of Deuteronomy also, in verse 14, there's a lot. Read the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy. It says, "Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Well, let me tell you this morning, it's about Him. It's about God. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about the Holy Spirit. In Proverbs chapter 3, in verses 7 through 12, the wise man Solomon, made this proclamation or statement. He said, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither beware of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as father the son of whom he delighteth." When we look at that, think about it this morning. It's about Him. Be not wise. Be not, "Oh, wise. I know all this. I know these things. And I know that I can make it make do even in the midst of anything that comes upon me." We can't. It's about Him. It's about Christ. It's about God. It's about His blessings. And I would say to us this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18, He said, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." You've heard me use this before. He gives us power to get wealth, make a living, accumulate things. And then He says we're stewards of those things. And He gives those things. You take the rich farmer that has such an abundant harvest that had to tear down the old barns, build new barns. And I forgot how many times he said, He was being wise and conceited. And the Lord said, "Hey, you didn't think one time about me and my blessings upon you." He said, "Thou fool." Foolish. God's people are not fools, but we do foolish things sometimes. And we fail to recognize the fact that we're stewards and not owners. When I think about that, that power to get wealth, I thought about that. And I've done a lot of meditation upon this thing. That power that He's talking about to get wealth and to have a living, do you know that's your abilities? You know, God gives unto us abilities. He gives unto us the capacity to learn and to be trained and to be educated to a point of having art to do some of the things that we are called to be in, whatever our occupation is. We talk about our personality of dealing with things and situations that He gives us. And He gives us opportunities. He gives us help. He gives us those things that we need. So we look at that and say, where'd you get your ability? Where'd you get your mindset? Where did you get that talent that you have And I am convinced everybody's got a different, you know, and the talents and the abilities that we have, we're not all alike. But we're all made in the image of God, and when we think about that, our very being, God is aware of us. And I think it's really remarkable that God has given unto us the ability to gain and to glean a lot of knowledge about ourselves as far as the DNA and all these things that He's allowed mankind to learn about ourselves. But keep this in mind. You're like God made you, and I believe with every ounce of my body there's a purpose that God has for every child that is His in His kingdom, and that is to worship Him. How many, you say, I have all that, but how many doors has God opened that you might go in? How many doors has He closed that you might not go into a certain way? And we say, oh, that's just happenstance. Is it? Well, it's not, I don't believe. But when we look at that, this thing, it's simply this. God knows you. And He says, serve me. Take what you have and acknowledge where it came from. And then you will see that you need me. You need the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We need to guide us. Jesus says He was in a comforter, the Holy Spirit. He said, what did He say He would do? If we will follow, He said He will guide us into all truth. And so as I look at the blessings, we have blessings even though we're not always obedient. We have, but yet we look at it and we think so often, I did that. Look what I did. But we need to understand and look what God did for us before we did what we did. The second thing I want to tell us this morning is this. The blessings that we have is because God has given them to you. And we probably, there's people today who do not believe that. They believe I accomplished it by myself. Second thing I want to say to me and to you this morning is this. God's blessings, the richest blessings, will come when God's people walks in obedience. It's not what we do, but in obedience He will bless us, and in blessing us He expects us to take those blessings and be a servant to one another and to Him. The blessings are not something that we facilitated other than walking in obedience. So our blessings are gifts from God that He gives them to us, and He expects us to be good stewards of those blessings. I'm convinced that we should remember, as God's people, that the blessings that we receive comes from Him. Besides material blessings, God has promised and He blesses us with spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. What are those spiritual blessings? I think it's peace. I believe you could ask in America today, and you'd ask probably, I'm not sure what the percentages might be, but what's your greatest desire in life? And I believe you'd find an overwhelming majority would answer peace and safety. But when we talk about the things that He gives unto us, God blesses all His creation, but He blesses His people in obedience really beyond measure of comprehension. I'm convinced of that. But He says, hearken diligently and observe and to do, observe and to do. We have a hard time as God's people, not just in doing God's will, but even believing the truth of what He says. Yes, I started off, I said, do you believe that God does this, God does that? Do you believe He can do all those things? And You know, if I had a test paper, I think every one of us would say, yeah. But when it comes home to me, it comes home to you. I want you to just think about it for just a moment. The blessings that God gives unto you, aren't they greater when we walk closer to Him than when we walk away from Him? Isn't it better when we say it's not unto us, but unto you belongs the glory? In Joshua, in chapter 24, verse 15, he made a statement. And, you know, we don't make a choice to go to heaven. God's already made that type of choice. But we do have a choice of whom we're going to serve. Who are we going to be obedient to, and who are we going to look to, and who are we going to believe? In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, I believe last Sunday I used to say, for Joshua said, not one word of promise that God has ever made has ever failed. And he knew that. But Joshua, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, he made this statement to the God's people. He said, if it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers serve that on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, or whose land you dwell, but for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. When we look at those things and think about it, we'll never go wrong in following God's word. And God has said, made a precious promise that He will correct us. He will, as many He loves, He will chasten. And He'll bring back into the fold. He'll bless us, man. But the blessing that God gives to us is beyond measure. And it's His blessings that He bestows upon us. And yet today, I grant you there'll be people, many people, that will disagree with what I preach this morning. That God owns everything. There are those today who will tell you that God did not create the heavens and earth. There'll be those today who will tell you that God is not God. He's just a figment of somebody's imagination. But I believe God. I believe His word. And I believe the stories, the events that are recorded in the Bible about the miracles of deliverance that God has done for His people are just as true as they can be. And so I would say to us this day, walk with the Lord, depend upon the Lord, trust the Lord, and cast your cares upon the Lord. For He cares for you. Then the third thing I want to tell you this morning, enjoy what God has given you. Enjoy what God has given you. When we look at those things, and Paul, he was one that had many heartaches, many imminent dangers, life-threatening difficulties, tribulations, all those kind of things. But, he knew that the God was able. He said, my God shall meet all your needs. Philippians 4:19. Not only should we think about the material blessings that He has given us, such as air conditioning, a good way to travel, many things that He gives material-wise, but remember those spiritual gifts that He's given us as His people. Because we are blessed today, because we are loved. We're loved by our family. We're loved by the God that we love, and we are blessed in many ways. And we need to really to enjoy and give credit where the blessings come from and show up and thank God for what He's done for us. How many times are we encouraged in God's Word? I didn't look this up. But how many times are we encouraged to thank God for the blessings that He bestows upon us? And how often do we do it? I pray this morning, and I pray this week, that God would use this feeble effort on my part to let us examine ourselves and count your blessings. count your blessings. And then to remember, he says, in blessing I will, in obedience I will bless thee, but in disobedience I will chastise thee. Why? Because he loves us. And he wants us corrected. He wants to save us from troubles and trials that we have. And as I think about all that the Lord has given unto me, family, Frank Church as your pastor, that's a blessing that I believe it is given unto us to serve you here. I think about the greatest gift that has ever been given. We just went through Christmas. A gift of Jesus Christ as our Savior. He had. Paul told Timothy, he had saved his people and called us with a holy calling. God loves us and he will bless us, but the greatest blessings will be when we see that God is for real. And those things that we think that we have accomplished, and we do accomplish things. I don't want to take away from that. God gives us the ability to accomplish things, and these are blessings. But may we never forget that the blessings that we have received is a result of God blessing us with those blessings by equipping us and giving unto us those things that will lead us in ways that we might walk in pathways that he would have us to try. You know, I've heard your daddy say many times, but he never realized till the later years how that he could look back in his older years and he could see where God's hand had opened doors and closed doors. How that he had pointed him in different directions. I've heard others in their congregation, saints have gone home, talk about how in later years they begin to see the blessings of God as doors were opened. Avenues and highways were made, and the Lord brought you to the place of great blessings. And I'm sure every one of them thanked God for the blessings that was bestowed upon them. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I want to tell you something. God is abundant in his blessings towards us when we walk in obedience. Because he loves us, he will correct us in those times. And he has desired, and I believe even commanded, that we would be obedient in all phases of serving him, of being in his house to worship him, to walk as a witness when we leave these doors and these grounds today. We'll go various and sundered ways this day and next week. We'll see a lot of people, and a lot of people are going to look at us and they're going to read us. And they're going to probably look at the blessings that have been bestowed upon us. And I believe as we look at those things that there'll be those that will say, hey, they're walking with the Lord. They're walking with the Lord. But we tend so often to judge the blessings of God upon us by material things that we see in our yards and in our homes and other things. But there's blessings that nobody will ever see what goes on within us, because the Lord God himself sent his Son to save us from hell. We need to understand that. That's the greatest blessing. Now, why can't we acknowledge that as God's people and as a nation that God's way is the right way? Any other way is the wrong way. And may God bless us today to know from whence cometh our blessings, and that we might be thankful for them. Lord, help us. Help us. Oh, God, help us to be a people that will seek renewal and revival in this day in which we live. That's my prayer. That's my prayer. I want to be yours. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your blessings upon us. Lord, we know that we're unworthy, but yet, Lord, you do have blessed us. You've given us pathway that's drawn, and Lord, you've guided us, and Father, we pray for that continued guidance. Lord, may we ever be mindful of the fact it's all of thee and none of us. And we'll praise you for that. These things I ask in Christ's name. Amen.